You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today we're continuing the series that we've been in for the past few weeks called Next Level Relationships. We're talking about taking our relationships to the next level because we all want to see our relationships get better. And, you know, there are the relationships that we dream of, and then there are the relationships that we actually have, right? We have some room for improvement. Sometimes there's a little bit of a gap between our expectation and reality. Anybody with me? We want to see these relationships get better. I was thinking about this past week. You know, I experience this sometimes, kind of fantasizing what my relationships could be like. Anybody ever do this? Like, sometimes when I travel, I'm out of town for a conference or I travel for ministry, I kind of picture, you know, my family really missing me. You know, like coming back and I'm, you know, my wife and the boys, they're going to pick me up from the airport and just be so excited to see me. My wife's going to give me a big kiss and the boys are going to cheer like, "Dad, we miss you so much." And I'm going to get home and I'm going to walk through the door and there's going to be a banner hanging up in the living room. "Dad, we missed you. Welcome home." And Amy's going to be like, "I cooked your favorite meal. Just sit down and relax. Can I give you a foot massage? I know it's been a long day for you. And maybe we can even put the kids to bed early tonight. Come on, somebody." That's kind of the way I dream it up, you know? But usually the way it really works is Amy calls me the day I'm flying home and she's like, "Hey, I'm stuck in a parent-teacher conference. Can you get a ride from the airport today?" And by the way, the kids have been really, you know, sick and I've been holding down the fort while you were gone. And so I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to cook dinner, but there's some leftovers in the fridge that you can warm up in the microwave. And by the way, I've got a really bad headache tonight. So, you know, the kids aren't going to bed early. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, there's a gap sometimes between our expectation and reality. For some of you, maybe, you know, in a relationship with a friend, you know, you get into an argument and you know, you got to patch things up. And so you're planning on reaching out to this friend and you know, they're going to understand your side of the story, right? Like, you know, they're going to give weight to how good a friend you've been. And so you kind of rehearse it in your mind. "I'm going to call them. They're going to hear my heart. They're going to know I want what's best for them. They're going to totally see my side of the story and we're going to get along and everything's going to be great." Before you can even get to them, they've already unfriended you on Facebook. You've disappeared from Instagram. You know, they've just dropped you. You go to text them and they're like, "Sorry, I don't even recognize this number." They've already deleted your number from their phone, right? There's this like gap between our expectation and reality. And we all want to see our relationships get better. We all want to see our relationships get healthier, get stronger. We want to get along with people. And that's what this series is about, taking our relationships to the next level. Now, today we're going to talk about a really important topic. It's important for all of us. We're going to talk about friendships. This is important for all of us. It doesn't matter whether you're an introvert, whether you're an extrovert, whether you consider yourself to be a people person, or you like your alone time. We all need friendships in our lives. God has wired us with this need for friendships. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, he's placed you in his family, the church, where we're supposed to, at the very core of our relationships, have spiritual friendships. That's what it means to belong to the body of Christ. And I think when we think about this idea of the kind of friends we want, we kind of have a profile in mind, don't we? Like, we want friends who are understanding. We want friends who are loyal. We want friends who are going to be there for us in our time of need. Friends who are unselfish, right? We want life-giving, encouraging friends, don't we? And as we begin to think about it, sometimes it's like, well, there's not that many great friends like that out there. We tend to think, you know, where can I find the perfect friend? But I want us to approach this from a little bit different angle this morning. I want to flip this around. And here's the key idea this morning. And I want you to put this in your notes. The key to having healthy friendships is to become the kind of friend that you want in life. It's not so much about going out there and finding the perfect friend. It's about you becoming the kind of friend that you want in life. In fact, that's true of growing as and maturing as a human being, right? It's more about becoming than it is about finding. Can I just tell you that you don't always get what you want out of life? How many of you have discovered that? You've lived long enough to know. You don't always get what you want out of life, but you always get who you become in the process. And so growing and maturing and this whole thing about relationships, it's more about who you're becoming. You know, many times people, for you single people, you're thinking about finding the perfect person, the perfect girl, the perfect guy. If I could just find the perfect match. But here's the truth. It's more about you becoming the right person in the process so that when you finally meet that person, you're prepared for them. You're the answer to their prayer, right? And so if we would get a hold of this, somebody's going to get their prayer answered. Because somebody in this church, somebody in your circle of friends is praying for a good friend. And you, if you'll become everything God's calling you to become, you can become the answer to that person's prayer. Now, I'm believing God's going to answer your prayer. And he's going to give you some good, solid friendships. Maybe you're new to our church. I pray God's going to give you some great spiritual friendships in this church. But I know one thing, if we'll get to work on embracing who God wants us to become, we can become the answer to someone's prayer. This morning, we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, the book of Romans chapter 12, and Romans is a phenomenal book where the Apostle Paul unpacks the gospel. In just a moment, we're going to look at what we can learn about relationships from this chapter. But in the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul, he describes and unpacks the gospel for us, and probably the best book of the Bible, the best epistle from the Apostle Paul that you could read to really have a theological understanding of the gospel. And he takes the first 11 chapters to unpack that. When he gets to chapter 12, the Apostle Paul begins to start to describe how we should live in light of the gospel. He's like, okay, in light of everything that I've described, this is how you should live. And then when we get to verse 9, he starts talking about how we should treat each other in light of the change that the gospel has made in our lives. So let's look at this together. We're going to read through Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. In just a moment, we're going to talk about some truths that we can find in this passage that are going to help us be the kind of friends that we need to become. But let's look at this. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 18. The Apostle Paul writes this: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Love, honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. We have to be people who practice hospitality. Look at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Don't curse them back. Bless them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Listen to these words, verse 17 and 18, probably the most powerful scripture in this whole passage. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. That doesn't mean you can please everybody. That means you want to live with integrity, right? You want to be a good example of integrity to people around you. Look at verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I want to give you four truths about being the kind of friends that we need to become. Remember, it's about us becoming something, right? It's not about finding the perfect friends. It's not about them out there. It's about who God wants us to be. And so I want to invite you to take some notes today. When you came in, you should have received some note sheets. You can also take notes on the Redemption app. If you don't have it, you can get it at our website. There's a spot where you can take some notes. But jot down some ideas this morning as we talk about four truths about being the kind of friends that we need to become. Here's the first idea. Number one, we need to be friends who extinguish evil and celebrate good. We need to be friends who extinguish evil and celebrate good. Look at this. Verse 9 says, love must be sincere. This word sincere in the original language means not phony, not hypocritical. In fact, the New American Standard Bible puts it this way: let love be without hypocrisy. Okay, genuine, like authentic, sincere love. Keep going. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Let's talk about that for a moment. See, in any friendship, if you're friends with somebody long enough, you're going to experience some degree of conflict. Might be minor, might be major, but at some point in time, right, if you're friends with someone long enough, you're going to experience some level of conflict. And some people celebrate conflict instead of minimizing conflict. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? Some people, they maximize conflict. They celebrate it instead of minimizing it. And for some people, it actually gives them the opportunity to elevate themselves. In fact, some people, what they'll do is when there's an argument between a group of friends, they'll insert themselves into the middle of it. And they'll tell you one thing to your face, and they'll tell the other person something to their face. That's what we call being two-faced. Nobody likes it, right? Some people will actually play people off of each other. It's a form of manipulation. I've actually experienced this before. Some people actually try to maximize conflict to make themselves look better. They think that it gives them an opportunity, like for their stature to rise. And we gotta be really, really careful with this. This is why it's so important for us to know who we are in Christ. We've been talking about that through this whole series. It's important to know who we are in Christ. Out of our relationship with God, because we've been so loved, because God has poured out his grace over us, because God has accepted us as sons and daughters, we can reflect that kind of love to other people. We don't have to maximize conflict to advance ourselves, do we? No, we know who we are, secure in Christ. We don't have to play those kind of games. Because see, here's the thing. When a situation arises, where there's some conflict and maybe there's some conversations, some tense conversations that are happening, there's often an opportunity to extinguish evil and celebrate good, because that's what the scripture says, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Often there's an opportunity for us to do that. And this is our opportunity to put an end to gossip. Okay? By the way, nobody ever thinks they're participating in gossip. They just think they're helping, right? But when you're talking about someone to someone who has nothing to do with the situation and can't help, that's actually gossip. And so what happens is there's often an opportunity to extinguish gossip. In fact, I like to practice reverse gossip. I like to gossip good things about you. You know, I do that for you. I really do as your pastor. I want to say good things about you. I want it to get back to you so you're blessed and you're encouraged. Why don't we just, instead of stopping short of not gossip, not gossiping, why don't we actually practice reverse gossip in this church where we just speak good things about people, right? We're just known for like blessing people and speaking good things about people and celebrating the good in each other. See, here's the thing. That's what we want people to do for us, don't we? When you're in a conflict and things are being said about you amongst other people, maybe your coworkers, maybe a circle of friends, we want people to actually celebrate what's good about us and to extinguish what's evil, right? In other words, you want people to give you the benefit of the doubt. Talked about that last week, didn't we? We want people to give us the benefit of the doubt. We want people to give weight to our reputation. Like, you know, you've known me for a few years now. We've been friends for a long time now. We've worked together for a long time. Like, you want people to give weight to the good qualities that you have, and you want people to minimize the negative talk about you. Isn't that what we want people to do for us in any situation? So we've got to become that kind of friend for other people, okay? You have to become the kind of friend who can de-escalate conflict instead of escalating it. You do not have to accept every invitation to every fight. How many of you know that's true? You can politely decline. Thank you. You can be all upset. You can be a drama queen, but I'm not going to come to the fight. You're going to have to fight by yourself because I got better things to do in life. Anybody with me this morning? You got better things to do? Like, you can have conflict by yourself, but I'm not accepting the invitation. I'm going to be someone who de-escalates the conflict. Let me ask you this question this morning. Are you an extinguisher of conflict? Or are you someone who fans the flames? You know, some people, when a conflict comes to them, they put a lid on it. They smother it. They suffocate it. Like it comes to them and they stop. And aren't we thankful for people like that? When there's something negative going around, it gets to them. And there's somebody who lives with integrity. There's somebody who has wisdom. There's somebody who has the grace of Christ just very fresh in their heart. And they just suffocate the negative stuff that's going around. It doesn't get past them. When it gets to them, it ends with them. They're going to de-escalate it. But then there are those other people who they see a fire and they go get a big bucket of gasoline. They just dump some more gasoline on top of the fire and it burns the whole stinking town down. And they're like, how did that happen? I have no idea why everything's on fire. It's like, yeah, you're somebody who maximizes drama. Conflict comes to you and you dump gasoline on it. We all know people like that, don't we? We don't want to be that kind of person. And once again, this all goes back to our identity in Christ, right? This all goes back to how Christ received us, the grace that we've received, being secure in who we are, right? You and I, what did we get from God? We got love. We got grace. We got mercy. We got forgiveness. We got kindness from God instead of what we got, right? Aren't you glad that when you confessed your sins to God the Father, aren't you thankful that when you went to God and you threw yourself on his mercy, he didn't go and blab your business to everybody else? Aren't you glad that God can keep a secret? Aren't you thankful that you can confess your sins to Jesus Christ and it stops with him? He's going to bring healing. He's going to bring wholeness. He's going to bring grace. Aren't you thankful that's what he did for you? No, Jesus didn't go blab all of your problems to the world. He nailed your sins to the cross. That's what he did. And so we want to be like that for other people, don't we? We want to be friends who celebrate the good in others. We want to be people, we want to be jaded. We want to be people who believe the best, especially for other Christians. And so we extinguish evil. We're going to celebrate what's good in others, and we're going to minimize what's negative about them. And guess what? Even when we find out there's something negative about them, we're going to give them grace because we know we need grace. That's the kind of friend we want to be, right? If you want friends like that, we need to become that kind of friend. Is this good? Is this helping anybody? It's helping me. I'm preaching to myself. Here we go. Second thing, we're talking about some things that we can do to become the kind of friends that we need to be. Here's the second thing. We need to be friends who are open-handed with others. Look at verse 13. It says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. We need to be friends who are open-handed with others. I love this idea of hospitality, being people who just create space in our hearts. We all want friends who are open-handed with us, don't we? Like, we want friends who are open-handed toward us, who share with us, who are generous with us, generous with their time, who are there for us in our time of need, who can speak some positive words to us, who can encourage us. You know, this past 2 weeks, my wife has been sick and recovering from illness, and our church family has really blessed us. I was cooking and holding down the fort last week, and how many of you know the Ziegler household is hurting if dad's doing the cooking, okay? So then, you know, we have a wonderful meals ministry here, and our church family began bringing us food. Man, we ate so good the past week or two. Come on, food is my love language. You were speaking my love language fluently. And it just blessed us. It just took some pressure off of us. It was a blessing for our church family to be there for us in our time of need. This past week at our life group, we had some fun just celebrating each other, just being hospitable to each other. We have a baby on the way in our group. Alan and Christina in our group are having a baby. So we had a cake for them to celebrate the baby that's on the way. And then my wife's birthday was the next day after life group. And so another couple in our group brought a cake to celebrate Amy's birthday. Come on, we had great food. We had chili. We had two cakes. Yeah, if you're wondering, my life group is better than your life group. I'm just saying. But that's hospitality, right? We should be loving on each other. We should be there for each other. In fact, let me just say, side note, that's what our life groups and our teams are all about. Like, you got to be intentional about getting into relationships, you know? If you don't know where to start, we're going to have team day next week. Get on a team. Find your place in a team so you have some friends who are there for you, because, you know, our church is already big enough that I can't be there for everybody. We don't want anybody slipping through the cracks. And so we got some hospitable people in this church. That's what God's called us to be. That's what he's calling all of us to be. So I want to encourage you, take some steps to be intentional about relationships in our church. You know, we want people who will move into action during our time of need, don't we? You know, I'm thankful for people who pray for me, you know, and isn't that the most common response when we hear about something? Oh, I'll pray for you, brother or sister. I'll pray for you. And that's nice. It would be powerful if we actually remembered to do it, wouldn't it? But so many times it's just so easy to say it. You know, most of the time, if you ask me and come to me and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me, I'm going to do two things, okay? I'm either going to say, let's stop and pray together right now, or I'm going to say, email our prayer team, and I'm going to give you the email to make sure you get prayed for, because I don't want to say something that sounds really spiritual, like we're praying for you, and forget to pray for you. But beyond that, too, we want people who move into action, right? Who are open-handed, who move into action, and they're hospitable, and they're able to share. See, here's the thing, guys. We all, in our friendships, okay, we need to be investing. How many of you have ever had a friend who sucked the life out of you? It was only take, 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 right? They sucked the life out of you. In every relationship, you have to have some, you have to make deposits and withdrawals, okay? A little financial analogy here, right? You got to make some deposits into the relationship, because if all you ever do is withdraw, you end up overdrafting the account. And so you got to make some deposits into the relationship. We want to be friends who are open-handed with our lives, with others. Here's the third thing. Okay, we need to become friends who can float freely, and are there for others during good times and bad times. We're talking about the kind of friend that we need to become. We want to be those who can float freely. What does that mean? Look at verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. See, we all want friends who can be there for us in good times and in bad, right? There's that friend who just shows up for the party, right? But we need friends who don't just show up for weddings, but they show up for funerals. We need friends who are there with us when we have money, when we don't have money, when things are going great, when things aren't great, when we have something to offer, when we have nothing to offer at all. That's the kind of friend that we need to become, that we can float freely. We can be there for people in good or in bad. That's, you know, in rejoicing and in mourning. Look at verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And don't you love when the Bible's just straightforward? Like, you know, we could get a commentary and look this up in the Greek and try to figure out what it's saying. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it, right? Like, be willing to associate with people of low position. You know what do not be conceited means in the Greek? It means do not be conceited. This is just straightforward biblical wisdom, isn't it? This is how the gospel changes our hearts, because this is actually counterintuitive to human nature. This is counterintuitive because most of the time we try to associate with people who are in our same socioeconomic status, who run in the same circles, live in the same neighborhood. Like we try to run with the people who are kind of in our class, or maybe those who are just a little bit above us, who can open some doors for us so we can climb up a little bit higher. Isn't that human nature? Isn't that the way our culture operates? This is Westchester. Come on, let's keep it real this morning, people. This is kind of human nature, isn't it? But what I love about the gospel is it just changes all of that. What I love about Jesus is that he doesn't treat anybody differently. The gospel found you and me, and it didn't matter where you were, didn't matter what you looked like, didn't matter what your ethnicity was, what your background was, whether you were a Democrat or a Republican, inner city, suburban, it doesn't matter. The gospel highlights and dignifies and uplifts everybody. That's what the gospel did for you and for me. And so we need to be the kind of people who can be friends with people of all stripes. Some of you, that's very unnatural. You came from a background where you just kind of stayed in your lane, right? You just kind of ran in the circles that you knew. And that's just kind of, unfortunately, you know, it's crazy because we live in the most diverse city in the world, but sometimes people end up in their own little tribe. But the gospel just explodes all that. It expands your heart so that you can become friends with people that you naturally wouldn't have been friends with, people who don't look like you, who don't come from the same background, who have a different story than you have. Because I'm secure in my identity in Christ, I can move freely. I can float freely just like Jesus. You know what I love about Jesus? Jesus could relate to all kinds of different people, couldn't he? You read the Gospels, right? Jesus, he was a friend of sinners. Sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, that was no problem for him. You look at his disciples, fishermen. He had a zealot you know what a zealot was back then? It was basically a religious terrorist. Jesus was friends with all kinds of people. He was amazing. In one story, he gets invited to a religious leader's home. He was comfortable in that setting. He could run with the elites. He went to the home, and then this sketchy woman walks in, a woman who was of ill repute, if you know what I mean. And she comes and anoints Jesus' feet, and he was cool with that. It didn't bother him. He could float freely. He was a person of grace. He just looked at people and he understood we all fundamentally, when it's all said and done, we all need the grace of God. He understood exactly who he was. He was secure in his identity as the Son of God. He knew exactly who he was. So it wasn't about what circle he ran in. He didn't have to bounce his reputation off of other people. He wasn't worried about everybody's opinion. He was secure in who he was. And that's what God is calling you and me to be, how we're called to live. Be secure in who you are. And because of who you are, because your identity has been shaped by the grace of God, you can float freely. And your heart can be expanded to embrace people who are different than you. When you have a God-sized view of humanity, when we get a hold of that, you can open your heart to people who are different than you. People who are different than you. And you know what? When we do, church, it makes the gospel attractive. When we get a hold of this, it makes the gospel attractive. It makes Jesus look better to a world who's trying to figure out what Jesus is like. What I love about our church, when people walk in, if they don't notice anything else, I hope they see people from all different backgrounds and places, all different ethnicities, white people, Spanish people, Asian people, black people. Come on, we're better together. And they see there's one thing they have in common. I don't know what this is all about, these people singing worship songs up in a movie theater, but these people come from all different places and they love each other. And whatever it is, I want what they got. Come on, this is the best advertisement we could ever have for the gospel, for the church of Jesus Christ. So we need to be friends who can float freely. All right, here's the fourth thing. We're talking about the kind of friend we need to become from the book of Romans chapter 12. We need to become friends who are peacemakers. We need to become friends who are peacemakers. Look at verse 18, very, very powerful verse. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We need to be friends who are peacemakers. See, if you stay friends with anybody long enough, as I mentioned before, at some point in time, you're going to experience conflict, aren't you? At some point in time, you're going to experience some level of conflict. And our default in a time of conflict is always them, not me. How many of you have noticed that, right? Like, we could get along if my husband wasn't so difficult. We could get along if my coworkers weren't so, you know, so hard to work with. If my kids would just listen to me. If my friends would just be there for me. Pastor, you don't understand. It's all of these people out here. It's always them. Our default is always what's wrong with them, how they're being disagreeable, how they're not understanding where we're coming from, our side of the story, whatever. But here's the truth. This verse, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it lands on you and me. This verse lands on us. As far as it is possible, right? If it is possible for you, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We always think it would be different if not for them. I heard a story one time about a guy who got on the freeway going the wrong way, and all the cars were coming at him. And he got on the phone. He said, "Honey, you got to put on the news right now. All the cars on the freeway are driving the wrong way today." Isn't that our default? We think the problem is with everybody else. But this verse lands on you and me. See, the gospel only has power to change me, doesn't it? The gospel has power to change me. I can't accept it for you. I can't make it change you. I can't make it change your heart. How many of you have learned that you really can't change people despite all of your efforts? Despite all of your constructive criticism, all of your wonderful advice and your tips on how your significant other, how your friend, how your coworker could be a better person. And you have no shortage of ideas, do you? You have no shortage of ideas. How many of you have discovered, you know, you really can't change people? How's that working out for you? But the gospel has power to change me, doesn't it? To change my heart. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, this verse lands on me. As far as it depends on you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm going to live at peace with everyone because I know the grace extended to me by Jesus Christ. I know the acceptance of God, my Father. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I know how well I've been loved. So loved. So loved. I know that God took the first step toward me. I know that I can love him because he first loved me. And so as far as it depends on me, God, because of what you did for me, God, I can extend grace to others. I'm going to do my best. I can't control them. I can't control what they're going to say, what they're going to do, how they're going to act. But God, if it gets unhealthy, it's not because of me. If it gets toxic, it's not because of me. Because as far as it depends on me, God, I'm going to live in peace with everyone, the same peace that you extended to me, the same reconciliation that you made a way for in my heart. And let me just say this to you. There are some people in your life that you can't be at peace with them right now because of the situation. Maybe they've cut you off. Maybe they won't talk to you anymore. Maybe they've walked away. Maybe things ended badly. Maybe they're a toxic person that you have to love from a distance, you know? I'm not saying be foolish here because there are abusive people that you can forgive, but you have to love them from a distance. You got to be wise. There are some people you can't have peace with them right now, but because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can have peace in your heart toward them right now. You can have peace in your heart toward them. And there's a blessing when you come to that place. There's a blessing because you are at peace with yourself and at peace with God. How many of you know you can't put a price tag on that? For your head to hit the pillow at night and to be able to say, God, whatever happened in that situation, whatever was said, whatever was done, God, I'm at peace. God, I have peace in my heart toward that person because God, as long as it depends on me, as far as it depends on me, God, I'm going to extend peace to that person. My door is open and I have grace for that person. We all want friends like that, don't we? How many of you want a friend who's like that in your life, who extends peace to you, who extends grace to you? If we want friends like that, here's our prayer. God, make us that kind of friend. God, make us that kind of friend. We all need healthy friendships. This is something every one of us need. It doesn't matter where you are in the spectrum of how many friends you have. Maybe you're somebody who's super friendly. You have hundreds of friends. Maybe you're somebody who only has a few. Maybe you're somebody who's new to our church. Maybe you're somebody who's super connected. We all have this need for friendships. And this is near and dear to my heart because our church family, like, you're everything that we have. When Amy and I got here 5 years ago, we didn't have anybody. I don't take this for granted. Like my church family, the spiritual friendships we have, like our friends, they're family to us. This means something to me. And I want this to mean something to you. I want us to get this. I want us to get a hold of this because we can sing about it. We can cheer it on. We can say amen. We can hear the sermons. We can read the devotionals. But listen, it only matters that you put this into practice when the situation calls for it. That's what matters, is that we learn to live this out. We learn to walk this out. And we only get this when we're in this situation where God gives us grace to become that kind of friend. You got to work this out in real life. You got to practice this. And it takes grace, doesn't it? It takes grace. And so God, give us a greater revelation of your love. God, let it get so deep down in my heart that it's not just another nice sermon. It's not just another nice devotional that I read. It's not another song that I sang about, but God, do this work in my heart because Jesus, you were a friend when I didn't deserve your friendship. You're a friend of sinners. You loved me before I loved you. God, I want to be that kind of friend. What would happen if we could get a hold of this as a church? What would happen if we could get a hold of this as a church? Imagine with me, just dream with me, if every one of us would become the answer to someone's prayer in life groups, in teams, in coffee shops during the week, meeting up during the city on your lunch break, what would happen? Nobody would be neglected. Nobody would be lonely. There would be healing. There would be wholeness. Somebody would get prayed for. Somebody would get encouraged. Somebody would have a friend to call or text when they need them. Somebody would get a hug when they need it. Somebody would get a meal when they need a meal. Somebody would have a friend to step up in their time of need. Like nobody would slip through the cracks. Our hearts would be whole. We'd be better if we'd get a hold of this. Come on, dream with me. This is more about just coming to church on Sunday morning and doing the routine. This is about us becoming that kind of friend, the kind of friend that Jesus was to each one of us. And so would you pray with me this morning? Why don't you stand with me? We're going to close out in prayer. And our prayer is, God, give us grace to become the kind of friend that we long for. To become the kind of friend that we long for. This is spiritual. This isn't just social. This is downright, this is about spiritual growth. This is about discipleship. Jesus said that it all boils down to loving God with everything you have and loving people as yourself. This is half of the equation. We got to get a hold of this. And so would you pray with me? And we're going to ask God, give us that grace, God, to become who you're calling us to become. Father, we thank you today for your word. God, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you that you have given us this beautiful gift of friendships. God, we thank you for your church. God, we thank you that as followers of Jesus Christ, Lord, we get to be a part of your family, Lord. And these spiritual friendships that we have, especially in the church, God, they're so sacred. They're so special. God, we thank you that you haven't left us alone, God, but you've given us a family. You've given us a place. And Father, we're asking you to give us your grace to become the kind of friend that we want in life, God. Jesus, we thank you that you were a friend of sinners. We thank you that, Jesus, you were a friend to us when we did nothing to deserve your friendship, that you made the first move. Lord, we can love you because you first loved us. Lord, we ask for your grace to cover our hearts, for us to become everything you're calling us to be, that we can be the answer to someone's prayer. Father, do it for your people. Lord, do it in us. Lord, make us those kind of friends. Would you pray this with me? Lord, make us that kind of friend and make us that kind of church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.